white flames are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Everybody, thank you tonight on December 4th.
I need to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you, everybody, on tonight. This is December the 4th.
This conference is being recorded.
And I am Khalid Zefnat Pioneer L, and I'm your host in the Royal Room. Thank you for coming in tonight and all other nights that you have tuned in to this call and to this broadcast. All of our people out there in the radio audience and BBS radio land, we say welcome into all of our participants and royal members of the royal family, to all of our leaders and all of you. Tonight, much is going on, as you very well know, across our world, not only just in our country, but a lot is happening all across the world. I'm looking at the board tonight, and I'm hoping that this subject matter tonight won't cause some of us to tune it out, because it will affect you in one way or another. It is happening, people. It is happening as we speak. We are looking at the last efforts of a desperate system trying to hold on and trying to survive, and they are making every attempt that they can to cause us to move from our anchored place in love, truth, justice, freedom, and peace. And so on the onset of this tonight, I would say to all of us, let us not move from these positions. So we are thankful. We know much is going on with civil unrest and protest around the country and a continued onslaught of attacks at the very psyche and soul of our nation, at the very core, the very fiber. People are disturbed, and I came to bring some comfort tonight. I came to offer some hope and to offer some assistance, some psychological and spiritual relief, and to give you good news. And that is, they are desperate. They're on their last leg. They're making every attempt they can to disturb your minds and to move you from your anchored positions in love and to cause fear and panic. Whatever happens, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Most High. That is our word tonight. Be at rest. Be at peace within yourself and yourselves, I should say. I'm looking for our honored elder, Dr. Dale Butler. Is he anywhere close around tonight? I made some discoveries today, and I'm also looking for one of our elder brothers, Dr. Mills, along with some of our other hosts, Janetta from Georgia, Atlanta. Are you on the line, Janetta? Are you in the room tonight? Let's see if I can find you should be. I gave you the host code. Let me run through the numbers here very quickly and see if that's you right there. Is that you?
Yes.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you for coming in with us tonight and participating. Eladia, have you located Dr. Blair? We want to open up this mic tonight because I have made some biblical discoveries that I was not really aware of in terms of the level of interpretation, in terms of some things that he has talked about on many occasions that was outside the scope of my awareness. Good thing I didn't disagree with him.
I thought you said something.
I said you're so cute.
Well, that wasn't up to him.
Someone there is on the open mic. You just opened up.
Yeah. Isn't his area code 718?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's 708.
708.
Yes. And so you have 918 in there with an open mic. I don't know who that is. 918-4. Oh, that's you. That's right. Okay. Okay, the 718 is not Dr. Blair. He is 708. I don't see Dr. Hoppe, who also I think is on 708 as well. But I made some discoveries about some of the things that Dr. Blair had talked about concerning the Hollow Earth and General Byrd, I guess, passing over the North Pole. And Dr. Mills, who is actually the better expert at the Hollow Earth. He's more studied than I am in it. But I found passages in the Bible today that support the Hollow Earth. And hopefully we'll wait for them to come on, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Now, I'm not able to look and see who's coming in and off this line tonight. I can't get my board in position. There we go. All right, I did it. Somehow I got it up. But now, the trouble that we see and we are hearing about in our country right now, even as late as this week, another unarmed African-American black man was shot down in Phoenix, Arizona, by a Phoenix, Arizona police officer. He was carrying and armed with a pill vial, a box of pills, painkillers. And the officer assumed, as they say, he reached in his pocket that he was reaching for a weapon. 34 years old. He was killed. And, of course, Eric Garner in New York was placed in a death hold, a chokehold, and he was killed. And Of course, protests have ensued concerning that in New York. And then, of course, in Ferguson, where Michael Brown was shot. And in Cleveland, where the 12-year-old in a park with a toy gun was killed and gunned down. And, of course, Oscar Grant, right here in the Bay Area, where I am a few years ago, was killed, and he was shot at the Fruitvale BART station while handcuffed and accosted by several officers that had subdued him and had him placed on a platform there, and one officer raised and shot him several times, thinking that he had his taser. Now, all of the talk that we hear, all of the commentary coming from our media concerning this, all of the justifications, all of the accusations, all of the media pundits, antagonists, and protagonists are all script. You have to understand that these responses, some of them are scripted by the people who are responsible. We don't want to become reactive to symptoms and become angered at the police officers. And that sounds kind of crazy. But we get nothing accomplished by anger at the symptom. Someone's trying to text me. I guess they obviously don't know that I'm on live broadcast. Pardon me. We don't deal with the problem successfully by addressing the symptom. We have to deal with the cause. Now, what is the cause? What is the cause of this profound hatred that we see? And how is it going to affect our world and those that are seemingly, supposedly isolated from this situation, or think that they're insulated and that it could not happen to you, or it's not going to happen to you. Hopefully it does not happen to you. And we want to talk to you tonight about the situation as it is discussed in the Bible. I'm off subject somewhat from where we were talking about some of the cosmic energies and macabre activation and how we are to prepare ourselves for the incoming energies that are coming from the Most High. And our planet now is being baptized and saturated with many, many energies. But I wanted to stop tonight and to, I'm looking for one of my lecturers here in the panel to open up a discussion as to what you think is the cause and the reason, and why do you think this is happening at this particular time in our country and in our world. So I want to open up the Q&A. I'm going to hit the Q&A right now.
Q&A session started.
Tonight, to hear what you have to say, what's on your mind, and what's on your heart as it relates to what is going on in our world, and in particular, in our country where we are. So in order to get into the queue, you press star 6. Am I correct, Alaya?
Correct. And then 1.
Star 6 and 1. Those of you that are in the radio audience, you can dial in 712-775-7085. And the participant code, access code, is 568-788-POUND. And you can come in and you can register by pressing *61 and get in the queue. So we're going to open up the queue early tonight. Queue is on. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's on your mind. How are you feeling about what you're seeing and what you're hearing in the world? Don't be shy. It's no time to be shy. We're in real time. We're in real time. So you can come into the queue tonight. We need to hear from you. We need to know how you're feeling about what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what you're feeling. And we need your information. We need your input. So don't be shy about participating tonight. We're waiting for you. While we're waiting, I'm going to take, there's several right there. We're not waiting. They're jumping right in. How about that? All right. 478. Your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm thinking this is a lot of planned activity, but the only thing that can save us is love and light and being in control of ourselves, because every problem I see that's in the world we're facing is because of lack of love. We don't love each other. We don't love ourselves, and we don't love our Maker. So we need to stay in tune with love and peace and control ourselves and pray for those who are not able to do that for themselves.
So we need to stay anchored in love and peace and truth.
Wow.
And you see this as being something that is being staged or baited?
A lot of it is being staged. It's, you know, to cause people to get upset, to be in the streets, to be, destroying each other. And that is not necessary. You know, everything here is enough for all of us, but we just got to love each other, and our behavior and our actions and our thoughts have to be geared toward that, even when things get really bad, in order so that, you know, the only thing that overcomes evil is love and light. And it has been said many times by many different leaders, and we have to exercise and do that on a daily basis. Even for those who
say that, would you say that protesting and marching in the streets is a solution?
No. I lived through that in the 60s. I lived through that in the 70s. I lived through that in the 80s. And that's not what we need now. We need to have that we need to be living the love, living the light, being the light, being the love and the core values.
And also, pardon me for seemingly insensitivity to the families that have suffered this loss. We have to understand that these are real people, and that the young man that was placed in the chokehold had 5 children that are now fatherless. And we have people that are coming into the queue. And so my sister Janetta, who's also a part of our MacArthur team and one of our instructors, I'm going to place you on hold just for a second, and I'm going to go to another. Is there any further information you'd like to share or any more comments in addition?
The families are in pain, and I think people can express their support and their love without engaging in the violence. That's all I'm suggesting. Yes, give them the support, give them the love, help them to get through this, but please do not resort to violence.
If we could find a way to unify, I spoke Sunday to an audience that was not aware of a program that our government has called COINTEL. And one of the ministers of our nation, he spoke quite eloquently. I'm looking for him now to see if he is still, if he's in the room now. Sometimes he can't get away. But he spoke eloquently to the fact that the government has a program called COINTEL that was started by J. Edgar Hoover to prevent any person from uniting the people, to bringing the people together in unity. It's just astounding and amazing that these kind of programs exist. But we've got to find a way to unify our energies, is what I'm saying. And our collective, and let me use this word, consciousness, so that we can use this energy and surprise the enemy by not responding in the way that they anticipate for us to respond. And the negative energies of, and the beta energies of a beta wave energies, which are hate and retaliation, envy, strife, and all of those negative energies create negative force fields on our planet that reinforce and anchor in the kinds of energies that they really want to anchor into this planet. Now, we can get into some of the more deeper, some of the deeper esoteric meanings of these energies and what and why their goal is to anchor these energies in. But let me not, we have some other people in the queue, and I hope I'm making sense. Am I making sense that we need to unify Janetta?
Yes.
And by the way, maybe at the end of this call, to talk about some strategies of unifying our collective good energies, positive energies, and not react in a way that they've anticipated. I want you to think about that, and I'm going to come back to you. Right now, I'm going to open up your line, 662. You've been waiting for a moment. And 650, I see you in the queue. Just hold on. 662, Brother Frank, I see you.
Yes, how you doing, Bishop?
Your mic is open. Hey, man.
Okay, this is what I want to say, and I believe true-hearted we have to do this. Out of all the pastors and ministers and all in this country, we need to get into our congregations, teach them better about what is going on, because what is happening now is already laid out. If we preachers and things don't come out behind these pulpits and get into your people and teach them what is happening, then we're going to be lost forever. You know, we got the biggest congregation going on in America with black people going to church. Church is good, and church is bad. But right about now, church is bad. It's not where we're supposed to be. We need to get these people out here and let them know that things are changing, and they're changing fast. If we don't alarm them, then we're going to be in trouble. That's all I have to say. We're in trouble already.
And so as you were talking about churches, their role in this process, what do you think that you said church is bad and church is good? Tell me, first of all, what's bad?
We have an echo here, gentlemen.
I'm getting an echo.
Well, it's probably from my phone because I've been having problems with it. But what I mean about church is bad is this. We as people have to be guided the right way. And if ministers are behind these pulpits, don't express what they need to say. Not worried about money, not worried about cars, not worried about possessions. Let's get into our people, because our people are more in church than ever. If we don't get in and teach them anything about what is going on, then we're going to be lost.
Okay. So you see, the commercial aspect is the bad part. That I focus on money and commercialism.
Exactly.
What about the message? Do you think we have the messages?
You cut out. I can't really understand what you're saying.
Are you on speaker, please?
I am on
speaker. I'm on speaker also.
Is that better?
No.
No, not really.
I took it off. I took it off speaker.
Okay. Thank you. That's better. I think that's what it was. Okay. Thank you very much, Frank.
Okay.
Now, the message that we have inside of the church, would you say that it is a correct message or incorrect message?
I think it's the incorrect message, because the reason why I say that, this has been taught for years and years and years of us going to church. We stuck in the one rhythm. Listen, things are moving. People are dying. Church is not helping us. Now, I might be wrong, but church is not helping us black people. Get out of the church and figure out why and what is going on around you. Don't worry about the car you got, the bills you got, and the front row of women you got on the front row. Let's worry about where you're carrying your congregation. You're not leading them right. You're leading them wrong. You're not telling the truth to them. You need to tell the truth. Stop sugarcoating, playing games. That's what's going on today. You're playing games. And people are dying every day on games. And I'm getting a little furious about it. And I'm trying to cope, you know, control myself, too. But listen, we're not going anywhere with this.
Gentlemen, I have a question to pose to you. This is Alanya.
I'm listening.
I read an article a few days ago. Actually, it's been out here for a while now, a month or two, that the IRS and the government is actually, I think it's in Texas, that they have passed it in one community, where all of the sermons must be submitted prior to Sunday's speeches.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get around that?
For one thing, I think that it's wrong for anyone to sit up and tell you what you're talking about in church. For one thing, I think it's wrong because, I mean, you cannot figure out a way to say that every sermon that goes on, I've got to report what I'm saying. No, I don't think that's right. But what I think is right, if you get these preachers, I'm going to say it again, I don't care who on this phone, if you get these preachers and these ministers and all these clergy who call themselves preachers, get out and teach your congregation better about what's in the future, what's going to happen, because it's laid out to you already. You're going to get killed sooner or later. So you need to tell your people to come up and understand and teach them understanding. It's not about what you're doing in there now. The church is just about gone. Mm-hmm. You see everything going on in the church now.
Sure.
Let's talk about what's happening about all these killings going on, all these people dying.
You say you see everything going on in the church. What do you mean? But give us some specifics about what you mean.
For one thing is this. We're talking about sexualities. We're talking about homosexuals. I might be wrong about saying on this phone, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it's fair in church. You see, I mean, you get on the internet, you see all kind of pictures of naked men. Come on now. It's not church.
You mean the preachers?
Preachers. That's not church no more. The church is gone. We need to figure out how to save our people.
Wow. So that you know, we've been discussing, you know, the possibility of the age that the Bible talks about in terms of the church age in Luke 22, without getting into a long lesson about it, the age of Pisces or the age of the fish, two fishermen going to meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, which is encrypted euphemism, a code language concerning the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. Two fishermen, Pisces is two fish, and Aquarius, of course, is the man that bears a water pitcher or the water bearer, earned water, pouring an incessant stream. The age of Aquarius. So the Bible is encrypted. I see Dr. Blair. I'm going to open him up. I'm excited. I think that's Dr. Blair. Yeah, I see him. His mic is open. I need to open him up. I needed to get him in right away. Dr. Blair, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening to all of you, and good evening to you, by there.
Good evening, Dr. Blair.
Good evening.
I know you hear this discussion. I wanted to make sure you were part of this discussion as we are talking about this culture. My brother has brought up an issue about church culture, and he said now it's a matter of life and death. He's talking about the negative side or the bad parts of this culture we see that is pervasive inside of our church culture. And it's been there. It hasn't just started. we've been able to mask this corruption inside of this culture. And one of the calls that we had with Jordan Maxwell and Dr. Blair, we exposed the actual root and the history of the origin of the corruption and how this thing all started. They took us back as expert historians and showed us that the beginning and the genesis of this was founded in crime and also in corruption. You cannot build a foundation of something in corruption and in crime and then expect for it to all of a sudden turn out something pure and good. In other words, the Bible says, how can a corrupt tree give good fruit? A good tree cannot produce corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. So I appreciate your passion tonight. I appreciate what you are saying, Brother Frank. And I don't want to cut you off because you're talking, and I asked you to be specific. So the corruption that exists, it's time to take a good look at it and see what the message is that we are preaching and that we are talking about. And it's a matter of life and death at this point. So, Dr. Blair, any thoughts on that?
Yes, and then some additional thoughts, too, if I may. Once the church violated part of the basic constitutional laws and signed an agreement with an elected, supposedly elected, I have to say that now with a tongue-in-cheek, electorate, the politicians, and signed 501(c), then you had no more church. Because that meant that anything that the church conductor, call him or her, whatever names you would, could not go against and say anything against the state. And it was a separation of church and state that gave you that opportunity. You never had to ask if you were called to do to the people and preach to the people and be with the people. You never had to get permission from the government. The government is for man and mankind. For the soul and consciousness, it was a church. But they gave that law up, and they gave it up again. And as I state, as we get more corrupted and more sacrosanct into the consciousness of where we should not be, rather than the spiritualness of where we all know we should be, and if you're spiritual, you know that. And those who don't know right from wrong simply don't have souls, or they've corrupted it so much that they won't listen to their soul, so they use excuses. That's one of the reasons I think we all, definitely the reason I got out of the church, because I'm not a hypocrite. I was not going to stay up there and condemn some souls to make some money or to get prestige and get some cars. That wasn't the way it was. And I want to add this too, if I may, which I think is in the same thing. This just blew my mind, and it's very hard. I'm getting my mind blown nowadays. I thought that couldn't happen anymore. The state of Minnesota has passed a transgender law. Not going to. It has passed a transgender law that if you feel, I'm saying this carefully and slowly, if you feel you are a female, a girl, a woman, you can participate as a female in whatever sport or whatever thing that they're doing. If you feel you are a male, if you feel you are a male, a boy, a male, then you can participate in all the sports of the male. Not only that, but you can go to the bathrooms, where what you feel goes, whether they're there or not. You can take showers with where you feel goes. You can go into hotels and stay with where you feel you are for that day. And if the next day you feel differently, you can do that too. What in the world has this place come to? I am as much for sex as anybody. I'm not a freak. But I also reach as a time when logic has gone with illogical rules, and it lets you see where this planet is headed, and you know exactly why that is. The devil is about us. The devil simply means spelled backwards as having lived. And if you live evil enough for a long time, you will become a devil. And the things that are going on now are not only illogical, they're dangerous. Because if you were to follow that to its logical conclusion, and you are 6'3", 215-pound male, and you go play a girl's sport, you could kill somebody out there. And if you're a female, and because whatever drives you, you feel you should participate in the male sport, look at that, and the uniform that you wear. And, you know, women have menses and stuff like this. This is getting to be a sick place. And as I say, I am not a uptight, non-sexual person. You tell me where this planet is coming to, and you tell me what the church is, and where is the government. This is horrible, man. The thing that this is happening now, let's just know. Didn't know it was an end time. You know it now.
We have some other people in the queue, and we want to get to them. Frank, I want you to hold on. Don't go anywhere. We're going to move on. Janetta, I know your eyes may be getting heavy because you have an early schedule. But we're going to go to 650. You're open now. Your mic is open. 650, your mic.
Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you, Queen.
Okay, hi. This is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, I just wanted to weigh in on what's going on in Ferguson and give my opinion. And also, I wanted to, since the part of a church was brought up, I just wanted to comment on that really quick. I think, like, the church part of it, I don't know, I'm saying it's irrelevant, but I'm not dismissing what was said. I'm just saying it's irrelevant because everybody doesn't go to church. So you're not going to reach all the people by just talking about church people. I feel that we need to, as individuals, we need to look at ourselves because of what's going on in Ferguson. I think it is a result of going all the way back to slavery until now. The injustices that black people have endured over the years, and the result, you see the result, how the people are acting. And the people that choose to riot and burn buildings down is, that's just a handful of the people. And it's some people that don't care one way or the other whether this what's going on and what happened. They just feel finding the opportunity to do these things and to loot and to act out. But I also think it's frustration too, because all the way back from slavery, when we were brought over here on ships and we were sold, if you could put up a picture of the slave ships and then being sold at the auction, whatever it was called, and then being so-called freed, and then being labeled as two-fifths of a man or three-fifths of a man, and then black people, they can't go in this door, you can't drink out of this water fountain, sit in the back of the bus, and then you can't vote, and all this up until now where they're killing people. They're just doing it in a different way, what they're doing now. And it's the frustration. And this is, I feel, this is the result of all of that. And this is what you get. You know, America, who designed this to happen? Or if there is, you know, someone planning these things out here for people to act up. I think a person's going to act, whatever their morals are, this is how you're going to react to situations. Everyone doesn't have to act angrily and lewd and riot or things like that. You know, some people like to express themselves and do something. You know, whether the marches or anything will accomplish anything, for those individuals that are marching, it's doing something for them inside. So it makes them, I feel, a better person. And we all got to look at our own self morally and how we are. Because from my understanding, the young man, he didn't deserve to die. No, he didn't. And I feel that the police officer could have done something differently. But if you look at the surveillance camera, he went in that store, grabbed those cigars, hit this man, and then when he was approached by the police, he's wrestling with the police officer, really, you know, he kind of put himself in a position to do that, you know, to what had, you know, what happened to him. And the result is he's dead, and his parents lost their son. And also, from what I understand, too, he done this to people in the neighborhood, you know, his own people. So my point is, try not to put yourself in that position. You know, I know we as black people sometimes get harassed by police. I do understand it. I'm not, you know, naive. But sometimes I think you shouldn't put yourself in that position. And then maybe some things may not happen. I have a son that's be out on the street all the time. I'm scared to death every night. So I'm not immune from it. You know, I may get a phone call or something, you know, and I'm afraid that I may. But I'm just saying, I talk to my son all the time and tell him, Go ahead.
You're making some excellent and intelligent observations. Frank was responding to, in terms of the church, as a strategy of how, what venue do we have to unify people? And so he brought up the church issue as a possible venue, which is the only institution that we have left. It has continued throughout history to have been a venue for sharing information for us, for the collective participation of our community, because we don't have any other institution whereby we can gather as a people besides the black church. In every major inner city, there are churches on every corner and liquor stores almost. And so it's either that or the liquor store where we congregate to share information.
Well, I disagree, because it starts in your own home first.
But that's where you start.
It starts in your own home,
but this is not just an individual problem. This is a collective problem. It is happening in New York. It's happening in Cleveland. It's happening in Ferguson. It's happening in Oakland. It's happening in Phoenix. It's happening in New York. It's happening all over Washington, Philadelphia. It's happening all across the country.
I understand it's happening everywhere, but we are individuals collectively. I know the church and how the church has been beneficial to in the black community. I know that. You know, I've been with church with you. I understand that, but I was just pointing out it starts as individual in how you act. And it starts in your home, to where you are policing what's going on in your home, your morals and values, and that's where it starts. You don't have to go to church
when we start dealing with morals and values and we start talking about something that's public policy, it would be fine. You're making an excellent point. It does start there. But now you have to move from the home to the marketplace. And that means that you're going to have contact. And you're going to have concentric circles of contact with different groups of people that are in relationship with each other at different levels. So now it moves from a private to a public kind of situation. If we all could stay home and not go to the marketplace, then that would be fine. You're making an excellent point.
I'm not saying staying home. You have to learn in the home, and when you go out into the public, you would know how to conduct yourself. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying staying in the house, you know, and not doing anything. I'm saying in the house. This is where your home, each individual's home.
I am definitely agreeing with you about the moral principle of starting at home, that we have no argument there. I agree with you 100%. But when you leave the home, and now it becomes a matter of the marketplace, and it becomes a matter of public interaction, and there are policies in place, is what we're dealing with tonight, that seemingly are there to eliminate a certain group. And this is what I want to get to. And thank you so much for those comments.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I didn't mean to be so passionate, but I feel strongly about this, and I just wanted to weigh in on it. So thank you.
Well, you weighed in excellently, and you gave some excellent observations. And when I saw Mr. Eric Garner, of course, I thought about our son, because he's, and you know what I mean when I say that, he's about his size. And I see him with his hands up saying that I can't breathe. And I see the commentary of how he slipped into a chokehold, and because of his weight, and I see the ridiculous and ludicrous explanations as to how this man slipped into a chokehold and he died and it was his fault. Almost, that's what they may as well have said. But now when it becomes ubiquitously prevalent and pervasive in a policy, we have to look at it at another level. That if this is happening to all groups, and why this is what I want to dig at tonight. Who are these people that have been isolated and targeted? And why is this happening? As if this is the only criminal element or misbehaving group in the country. This group that are non-stakeholders in the world don't control any of the seven industries of the world. They don't control the financial world, the banking system. They don't control transportation, oil, gas. They don't really control politics, even with a figurehead president that is African-American or whatever you want. I don't know. Maybe saying politically incorrect there. But a man of ebony hue with a black father and a white mother. We have to look at the policy. And who are these people? Why is this happening to one particular group who is also at the brunt of other attacks? See, we can get lost in police assassinations and not think about all of the other ways that this group is being targeted in the biochemical warfare, in the medical work with heart attack. What is actually, why are these people the only people in the world that are not stakeholders and non-participants, and why are they being eliminated and treated in this fashion? And that's just an honest assessment. That's emotional for me. And I wish I could detach myself from the emotions, but when I look at it objectively, I have to ask the question, who are these people that they're being targeted when they are non-stakeholders in this world? I mean, what do you want from them? They don't have any money. They don't control the industries. Why are you eliminating these people? Why is it that these people are not getting the same shake at life and this planet as other groups are? Who are they? That's what I want to find out. I want to find out who these people are and why this is happening to these people. This is a question, I think, collectively. I won't even try to make the assumption because I'm learning more and more every day. Dr. Blair talked about the hollow earth, and good thing I didn't disagree with him publicly because I ran smack dead into some scripture today that talks about hollow earth and beings that came that live in the caverns of the earth. And it's right there in my Bible. And I was like, whoa. Dr. Blair was right. Then I saw beings that came from the far end of our galaxies, from the end of the heavens, from another country that's at the end of the heavens, beings that came here from other galaxies. It's right in our Bible. And I'm like, whoa, Dr. Blair was right again. Good thing I didn't disagree with him publicly. So what I'm saying to you is, and to everyone that's listening, is that, who are these people? Who are these people that are at the end of this? And how does it affect the collective consciousness and energy of our planet? And there are some people, I think, in the queue right now I'm going to bring in. I believe this is Angel Lady Love and at 215, so I'm going to open up your mic. Thank you, Queen, for coming in.
Hetepu, Duanatere, Honorable Royal Priest, Brother Khalif, Honorable Dr. Blair and Honorable Sister Midwest and all the Royal Priesthood family. I am Angel Lady Love and Jella Del Philly, Lady Truth Oracle Ra Bibi, I am. And it hurts me that no one's understanding. This has been going on all the time. It's part of our wake-up part that we're now just seeing what's been happening all the time. I've worked over 45 years of my life with the Caucasoid women that would come in. I'd have to train them. They'd sit there, file their nails as I'm walking and working like a fool. The other variable is our men have always been mistreated. Honorable Lady Day sung a song about the strange fruit. They're still hanging people on trees in Delaware just the other year. Look it up. I don't even have internet nor computer. I myself found out, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, to get the copies of citizen complaints that I put through with these police officers. I found out that all of them were fraudulently done. You would think the police called, they call the police on me. The fact remains, this has been happening all the time. It's just a matter that finally some people are waking up. And it's hitting too close to home. Our children, I've seen 11 and 12 years old thrown down on the street by these Caucasoids that don't even have uniforms on. They call it, what, plainclothes cops? I had to stand between these two men with guns and had the little babies face down to the ground. This happened over since 2000 sometime, before my eyes were assaulted. I've been calling people this week. You should hear how our employees talk to us. Why? Because we don't call them our employees. We let them call us. They don't even call us anything. But fools, we let our federal government.
With your knowledge, and you're making, again, some tremendous points, and we do understand that this is not something that has just started. I could have gone to a Bible discussion.
Well,
tonight.
I will. Leviticus chapter 18:22.
Well, hold on one second. Hold on one second. I'm going to allow you to continue. But I want you to speak to who are we that we have been singled out in this?
I will answer that.
Now we're diagnosing the problem. We can all see that it has been happening and that it is now coming to a head. But here's the question. Who are we, and why are we being singled out? Go ahead now.
Okay, because we are the supreme beings of this planet Earth, of the four corners of the planet Earth. We've been here for billions and millions of years. When these beings, before they were even came out of their, or genetically engineered from their ape state, and then now they've been obedient to their fallen angels. You have to understand, they're the genetic engineer scientists. They've been obedient to them, and they gave them our stuff. That Bible is my book. Bible means book. It's my handbook. Everything written, we wrote. We've been so deprogrammed to not remember who we are because we're passive people. They think that they're over us and that we're them. This is the key, but we're now waking up.
You're telling me that we have had, like in the movie with Eddie Murphy, Trading Places, we've had an identity switch.
You may want to call it that, but I say that we've been asleep, and it's now time to wake up, because in my Old and New Testament, it tells us to wake up. The fact remains is that everything we need to know is in us. This is why they're closing the schools. Our children are born knowing everything they need to know. These genetic engineered beings, Leviticus chapter 18:22, thou, meaning the melanin-enriched royal, divinely supreme beings, shall not melanin-enriched male, higher universal male, higher universal woman, higher universal male or man, if you will, melanin-enriched, shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. They are a kind of man, a kind of being. They are the humankind. And the bottom line that goes into Leviticus 13, they are cancer. They have melanocytes, but they do not have melanin in their melanocytes. Whenever a human or a humankind has a cell and it's not functioning the way it's supposed to function, it's a dysfunction. And cancer is any cell going in the wrong direction or not functioning the way it's supposed to function. They're born with cancer. That's why now many of their children are coming. I'm talking about the Caucasoids. I'm coming with real truth. The bottom line, that's why their children are coming here with many strange cancers, and everybody's got to collect the money for them. But now what are the women doing? They're coming to our men. They've always done that, even in slavery. And if their man saw them looking at them.
Hold on a second. Let me respectfully interject.
I'm suffering. That's why I'm talking.
Okay. Well, let me respectfully interject, then you can continue. When you start, we wanted to get Dr. Ann Brown on our call to talk about melanocytes, melanin, and what it is. We know it's a molecule, and we understand what it does, and we understand that black males have massive amounts of melanin produced in their body. So as I'm listening to you, and I see and understand the ugliness, and I say that with all force and compassion, the ugliness of organ harvesting and taking of black organs, are you suggesting to me that this, what we see, is because of melanin, and why?
Emphatically, and most emphatically, their time is up, as we've all discussed, but we're not coming in with it real. The genetic engineer beings, as Honorable Dr. Delbert Blair has mentioned to you, their time is up. Some of them, with, if they're spaceships, they're leaving or trying to find other places or keep and make as much hell, hopefully, that the Earth won't ascend. But we are going to ascend regardless, because we wrote about it, and if you, the last four chapters of Revelation tells who wins. The bottom line here is these people are so into our melanin. That's why Duncan, who went to his plane from Liberia, went to Europe before it came to the United States of America, but yet nobody in Europe got anybody's Ebola, and that's why he, out of all the rest of them, died, because
even
his family wouldn't want his body.
We've got about 2 minutes.
Real quick.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay on the line, and we're going to move over, but I got to take one more call on the air. We're going to come back. Okay, thank you, Angel Lady Love from Philly. All right. 770, you're on their line. You're in the room.
Hey, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Good. The reason why they can do what they do is because they live in a fictional world. They do documents fictional. Every contract that they ever done is fictional. And I don't care if you white, black, I don't care what color you are. They have indoctrinated you from a child up. And most of the people in the whole world has only got a second grade education where this is concerned. They use verbs and adverbs to create the fiction. But they never, ever try the facts. And when we come back to quantums, come back to math, math and quantums will always present the facts. They are afraid of the facts. And everything that everybody's talking about, you all got to understand, you need to find out the facts and bring the facts to the front and get rid of this fictional. Or you continue on to go through the same thing and see the same thing over and over again, you will not get no justice, because justice is dead in their eyes.